In this case, we can start whenever you like. It's recording.
Do you want me to start?
I don't know. I've forgotten how to do this.
Hello, welcome to Peas in a Podcast. It's me, Colin. We're joining me, as ever, is the co-host of Peas in a Podcast, my brother, Simon. Hi, Simon.
Hello, we're back. Guess who's back? Can't do any more of that for rights reasons, but we are back for our two listeners.
It's been over a year. I think it's probably been
4 years. Our podcast is marked inactive, apparently. Marley was telling me.
Four years, really? Years.
Who knows? But we're back. We're back. We're bigger than ever. It's the Christmas special. That really amused me last time I said that.
I believe actually the Hallmark Channel is currently doing Christmas in July.
That's the thing, apparently.
We're taking a leaf out of the Hallmark book to do our Christmas special. I didn't know until just now that it was a Christmas special. I'm not entirely sure you were committing to that, but I'm a yes and kind of guy, Simon, so I'm committing wholeheartedly to the Christmas special.
Do you have any follow-up on that?
My follow-up, Simon, is can you name all of Santa's reindeer?
And my answer is no.
It's another classic segment.
How many? Would we say there are 12? 8?
I'd say 12 or 13 if you're including Rudolph.
Okay, Rudolph, that's a gimme, thanks. We've got Donner, we've got Blitzen, we've got Vixen, we've got Prancer, we've got Dancer, and the gang.
Comet, he's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
There might not be 12. I don't have the answer in front of me.
And also, those were named a long time ago. I think they've already passed on. They've probably been renewed. We've probably got a whole new generation of reindeer.
You think the flying reindeer are mortal? Interesting.
I do. Yeah, I do think that. I think they serve their time and they pass on.
Interesting point. That's never been considered.
Write in if you've got a thought about magical reindeer. You know the peer box.
You certainly do. I might be working this Christmas, huh?
Wow. So just as we've got to our dad not working Christmas / always working Christmas, but, you know, no longer obliged to work Christmas, You certainly don't. I won't be. No, sir. No,
in fairness, I probably won't be, but I'm now working for the Church of England.
Head of it. Big fan of its work.
But I'm not sure what they, since I'm the operations manager, I'm not exactly sure what they want me to do at Christmas, but I'm there if they need me.
Operate, I guess, or manage people.
Manage the operations, yeah. But I don't work on Sundays, so I'm not sure why I'd be working on Christmas Day.
I guess you have to like paint something or something like that.
Maybe I need to paint something. All right. up with the lark on Christmas Day to paint something. Actually, I do need to paint something this week.
I knew it.
I've bought some blackboard paint, or chalkboard paint, in fact, to paint.
Oh, lovely, lovely stuff. A chalkboard?
A chalkboard. I had to look up how much chalkboard paint do you need to paint a chalkboard. And I got the smallest tin I could.
Gosh. Do you think, can you name all of Henry VIII's wives in order?
Yes.
Go for it.
All right, okay. It always takes me a little while to remember.
The link was the Church of England, by the way.
That's all right, Catherine of Aragon, Anne Boleyn, Jane Seymour, Anne of Cleves, Catherine Howard, Catherine Parr.
I believe you. I just don't know. Obviously, I know divorce beheaded died, divorce beheaded survived. But
the trick is that both the Catherines and the Annes are in alphabetical order. You just got to remember where to slot them in.
Okay,
it's one of those things that that I've learnt along the way just for pub quizzes. One of these days I'm going to learn the signs of the zodiac in order for pub quiz purposes, but I have not yet done that. So every time I'm in a quiz and they're like, if you're born on the 1st of March, what sign of the zodiac are you? You look on the table. If anyone actually has a birthday at the point of which they've asked it, they know the answer, but no one else ever knows.
The quiz I was at yesterday was to do a birthstone. What's your birthstone if you're born in July?
Is it Sapphire?
I don't remember the answer, but Google it if you want to know, everyone. But I don't think I knew November's birthstone, or rather, I thought it was Onyx, but someone else at the table said it wasn't, so who knows?
Yeah, it's not something that's ever really kept me up at night, but it is annoying.
Yeah, I didn't know what you were something to do with your birthstone.
Swallow it.
I think it's, we can
official,
rule that out.
Official Peas in a Podcast recommendation.
Swallow a precious stone. Do you have to do it during your birthday month? Or
it feels like the kind of thing that Gwyneth Paltrow is probably doing. Probably swallowing birthstones.
Yeah, I assume. It does seem her vibe. Or at least selling ones you can sell.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't do that stuff herself, yeah. Surely.
Do you think she uses any of her own products?
Great question. Great question. Maybe like some of the face cream or something.
I can see her using a face. Although, yeah, I mean, I imagine she uses an expensive hard word, face cream.
I honestly don't know how expensive Goop products are, but I imagine it too expensive.
How much is Goop face cream? And is Goop a cult? Another question to cover. It was only $34. That's not that much. $98. What? It could be either of those things. I mean, it's more than I spend on face cream, which is, I don't buy face cream.
I've got a bunch of...
I do use a moisturiser.
Well, I've got moisturiser just because the back of my hands get quite chapped.
Yeah. Let me tell you, you don't want to be using the same moisturiser on your face as on your hands.
I mean, I don't moisturise my face.
I don't know why.
So, but I feel like I probably could. Just regular moisturiser, isn't it?
Dream big. Well, I use a different one on my hands and my face just because one of them is like sort of stickier. And the stickier one goes in my hands.
You want your hands to be sticky rather than your face to be sticky?
more than I want my face to be sticky.
Couldn't you just use the one that's not sticky on both your hands and your face?
It's a great, great question. I hadn't even considered it. Yeah, I could try that, actually.
Yeah.
Now I've got this half tub of sticky moisturizer.
I mean, the one I've got is quite sticky. And I always get too much, but I just rub it on my head.
On your head?
On my head.
So you've bypassed the face, the part that people typically moisturise.
I'm wearing glasses, you know.
Are you rubbing it just in your hair? Or lack thereof?
Well, that's it. Now that I shave my head, I can rub moisturiser into my scalp.
I don't think anyone needs to moisturise their scalp. I suppose it is just scalp, but you've got some.
To be clear, I'm not doing it because I want my scalp to be moisturised. I'm doing it because I want to get it off my hands, and my head's right there.
But I think if I had to pick a part of my body that I was going to put moisturizer on, leftover moisturizer on, my scalp would be really far down the list. Like, face would be next, then maybe like feet, maybe arms. Like,
I'm not going to take my socks off. I'm just trying to get rid of moisturizer here.
I mean,
glasses, so right against my
face. Can take your glasses off.
Again, I'm not trying to add steps to the process. I just want the easiest way to get moisturizer off my hands.
You could use a paper towel or something.
I don't have paper towels in my bathroom. Why would I have paper towels in my bathroom?
For exactly this reason.
I'm not going to buy paper towels. You're talking madness.
Okay, I mean, there's so many better options than rubbing it in your hair.
And yet people have said my scalp looks youthful.
I don't think anyone has said that. I think if you can see someone's scalp, it's probably not youthful.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
In our pre-podcast planning, let's call it that.
Our two-hour planning session, sure.
Yes, yeah. Gosh, we really did 8 minutes. It feels like so much longer. We've exhausted so many topics. Queen Anne. People don't talk enough about Queen Anne.
No, I agree.
Should we make this a Queen Anne podcast? And I don't mean episode.
Should we make it? No. There's an expression, wasn't there, that came across many years ago. I was saying, and Queen Anne's dead.
I was going to bring that up. Apparently, grandchildren sing all the time. Yeah. Oh, Queen Anne's dead.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Queen Anne.
She's
dead. And before the podcast, I did look up the dates which she was on the throne.
Now, you do get a lot of Queen Anne furniture.
Didn't they cover the legs or something? Was that a thing?
No, you're thinking Victorians, and also they didn't. So it was all a rumour. But Queen Anne furniture is a period of furniture. That's I think when people are most familiar with Queen Anne, it's Queen Anne furniture. It's like on keyword stuffing. Just keep saying Queen Anne furniture and we'll become the number one Queen Anne furniture podcast.
So can you still buy furniture in the Queen Anne style, or does it have to be from the period?
I'd imagine if you're looking for an armoire, it almost inevitably is Queen Anne style.
What was the last piece of furniture you bought, son?
Such a good question. A little personal, but I'll answer it. I think it was probably a bookcase.
What a surprise.
But it's been a while. So I have a half-height bookcase under my windows, and it was the last place I could fit a bookcase. So that was probably two years ago, maybe. I can no longer extend my dining table. So it used to fit six people around it at a push, but not anymore.
You can never fix 6 pounds, could you?
I've done it. It wasn't comfortable.
Okay. Fair enough.
What's the last piece of furniture you bought?
Well, I don't think I've bought any furniture for a long time, but I did buy a new seat cushion for my Pyong chair, whatever it's called.
Pyong. Your what, sorry?
What's the IKEA chair that everyone's got?
Pyong? Okay. Sure, why not?
I bought a replacement cushion because when I was... I thought I'd washed the covers of the previous one, but which I did. But then when trying to get stuff the foam back in, I ripped it. So I was like, well, I guess I'm buying a new one. It really freshens up the room, Simon.
What colour are we talking? Give me colour.
Blue.
Nice. Okay. Nice.
The previous one was a dark blue, whereas this one is a slightly lighter blue.
Ooh, big news.
It was quite a big change for me. I like to freshen up a place, Simon, every now and again. I like to freshen up a place. Usually by my presence, but also by changing the cushions. And today I did
you don't have any cushions.
So chair cushions. And I do. I own like 4 cushions. Today I did a rehang of my fridge magnet.
Oh my goodness. Wow, that was, I'm not going to lie, that was hard to hear, but a rehang. Much like the sort of the Tate Modern might do.
Yeah.
Was there a schema? Was there a...
Well, that's it. Previously, I kept all the Canadian ones together, and this time I threw caution to the wind, and the Canadian ones are just scattered amongst the rest. Other than Castle Corner in the top left, it's really just where they fit.
Okay, so, I mean, that sounds like it. If the Tate Gallery did it, they get a 2-star review from...
Yeah, people would not like that.
They'd be like, what's going on? People get very upset about the way that things are ordered in the gallery and in the Times, at least.
They certainly do. And if anyone reviews my fridge, they'll be dismayed by the lack of system. But I like it.
Did I tell you years ago about the time that your friend of mine, Lorna's sister, got a painting into the Royal Academy?
No.
You've met her sister, possibly Tash. Hey, Tash, if you're listening. She certainly won't be listening. But so she entered this basically as a joke, because she's not particularly good at art. And it was like a landscape. They obviously interpreted it as being, you know, primitive style or something. And you first of all you send a photo in, and then you go to various interviews.
The National Gallery is taking submissions.
Well, the Royal Academy. Sorry,
the Royal Academy.
The Royal Academy. They do like an.
Probably did say that. Okay.
Yeah, they do an annual thing where anyone can submit, and it's usually noted artists. And then you also say how much you think it's worth, and everything, and it's for sale. Nobody bought her painting, they just took her at her word, and it was quite funny.
Wow. Are you a man who likes a prank, Simon? Do you do pranks?
Absolutely not. Very anti-pranks.
Me too, actually. Me too. I mean, was that a prank, do you think?
Well, I don't think that's a prank. I think that's a bit, maybe. I love a bit.
I don't love a bit either.
No, don't have a bit.
I think I quite like a bit. I just hate people talking about bits. I don't know if you ever listened to the New Girl podcast.
Half of one episode.
Yeah, it launched with Zoe Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, and Hannah Simone, and it was called Welcome to Our Show, which is a terrible name for a podcast. And I listened to like maybe a full episode, but which one's the singer, which one's the actor? Jake Johnson came on the show, and he just kept talking about how they did bits. Like, he must have said the word bits 1,000 times in his hour on that show. Oh, no. I lost a lot of respect for the man. Anyway, Zoe Deschanel has walked, and they've rebranded it as The Mess Around, which is a better title because it's actually referenced.
She's walked from New Girl again. I mean, admittedly, the first time she was having a baby, but...
Did she walk? Oh, yeah, she went off. But, yeah, she's like...
She walked from a podcast. Zoe, yep. What's she up to? Some sort of fringe convention. It's a convention next to a major convention.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. For our American listeners...
She went to some sort of bangs convention.
Next to a bigger convention. Yeah, no, it works.
So I think what sets a bit apart from a prank, what I don't like about a prank is when it's aiming to like embarrass someone or scare someone. I don't think anyone was embarrassed or scared by her piece being there, unless she'd like, you know, gone on camera and been like, haha, I got you, art fools.
Yeah, she did a clever YouTube video about it. Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably right there, because I don't like things that make people upset or embarrassed either, and I'm surprised by how many people do. But also what annoys me about pranks mostly is that they do something and then the other person reacts in the exact normal way that anyone would react, and then they laugh at them. It's like this.
Yeah.
If you're going to laugh at someone, there should be a reason for. I mean, probably shouldn't do it anyway, but I don't feel that's a good piece of comedy.
It's not. No, well, I'm with you. And even when it was people like Suella Braverman, I think it was, or maybe someone like that, someone did this big thing where she went to open this fake event or something and they unrolled saying she was the idiot of the year. I forget the details. But it's like, I can't stand her policies. I don't particularly like the woman. But that wasn't fun or nice. Like, that just makes you look bad. That's not, there are better ways to point out what a terrible person she is.
I saw the same video and I agree with them. I agree. Not least because, like, what happens now? She's just standing in front of the sign. She's like, oh, all right. And then walked off.
I guess I'll leave. Like, and Suella Braverman will be on the episode after the break. She went. That was a bit.
So. That's a great bit. I like the concept we might have advertisers, let alone that we might have Suella Braverman on the show.
If we want to advertise, we'll advertise anything. Someone did actually want us to advertise on my more successful podcast.
Did they? Books.
But we said no. They wanted us to promote their book, and we thought, no, we need editorial authenticity.
To be clear, I don't need editorial authenticity, right? I will advertise literally anything.
Do you think anyone's ever invested
gun shipping? I'll advertise gun shipping.
To whom?
I don't even know what gun shipping is. If you want to move your guns around...
So you think it's shipping that's exclusively for guns? And are we advertising to people who want to ship their guns or people who want to have guns shipped to them?
I think people just want to ship their guns. It's like, you know, you're flying somewhere but you can't take a gun to the airport. Oh, I've got to ship my guns separately. I think there's
so they're collecting the other side, you know, several months later. Oh, okay.
Presumably they get transported by gunboat. I think that's what will happen there.
Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what's the company called? What's the slogan?
Oh, all right. Well, I kind of exhausted my gunship pun material there with gunboats. Sure. So I'm going to call it gunboats, I suppose.
Sure.
Slogan. Arms across the world.
Oh, that's very nice. I was going to say with you in a shot, but I think yours is better.
It's pretty good.
Gosh, I just wish I wish now that I was pro guns.
I wish I was pro boats. We could we both aligned on it.
Oh dear, I'm sure you can take a gun on a plane if you're like wearing an army uniform.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, they in America they let them do anything, don't they? They love their troops.
I think they probably require more evidence that you're a member of the armed forces than the fact you're wearing camo gear.
Could be a member of All Saints for that, couldn't you? It's a topical reference.
Is that a good reference? I don't.
All Saints always wore camo. Come on, Glenn. There'll be people screaming in laughter at that.
I'm pretty sure they didn't. I've seen pictures of All Saints not in camo.
Don't you dare question my All Saints knowledge. Don't you dare. I bet you can't. I'm going to say you can name two of All Saints, and only because one of them is in Celebrity Race Across the World.
I didn't finish watching Ship Across the World. I've just Googled.
She
wasn't
in the first episode.
Yeah, so. I didn't. I forget them all. There's a whole like, I mean, some of these are churches, in fairness, or saints. But the ones that are the girl band, not a single picture are they wearing any camo gear.
That's not true. Google All Saints 1999.
Okay. That's 199. That's not going to help anyone. There's still. I mean, one of them seems to be camouflaged as a leopard. Are you counting that?
Oh, they're wearing camo. Don't lie to me.
Anyway, I think one of them is called Chasney.
Very good.
I think there was one who was an Appleton. Maybe a Nicole Appleton?
There was. Or in fact, two that were Appletons, but Nicole Appleton is one of them. They later formed the band Appleton.
What kind of name would All Saints have? Faith.
No. So good though, you got two. Neither of them were on Race Across the World.
Oh right. Who was on Race Across the World?
To Melanie Blatt was on Race Across the World.
I watched a couple of episodes of that, but I was never really got into it. Much though I love the concept. I don't think they explained who she was. They just assumed that we would know, and it was only from deducing like maybe they didn't, I just missed it at the beginning, but there's a lot of kind of like, yeah, of course, I spent a lot of the 90s on tour and it's nice to come home and stuff. I was like, who are you and what are you talking about? I didn't know. Touring what? Were you a gunboat captain? Is that what you were? Didn't know.
He thinks over in the camo, but no, I mean, partly it's because it's Mel Blatt. She's an icon. How dare you?
Secondly, I think is an icon.
It's Mel for All Saints.
I would say that All Saints, you could claim All Saints are iconic, and I wouldn't disagree with you.
Yeah.
Mel Blatt is not iconic.
You know, more as the Four Bs. Yeah, I think all of them, they sort of told you who they were after a while, because they didn't say who the racing driver was for a long time, and I was just like, that's just a guy. I don't know who he is.
Mm. Yeah, but so Race Across the World. As you know, Simon, and the listeners may remember from, I think I've probably talked about it before on the Hit podcast, Peas in the Podcast, that I love challenge travel shows things. But
a term you've made up, isn't it?
Yeah. But I feel that Race Across the World leans a little too heavily into the travel. I think I prefer a bit more challenge.
And yet, we might be on it next year. You know.
Yeah. If they're listening to this, I've always loved the show, and I think it's great. Yeah. I think that Mel Blatt is an icon.
It's going to be, yeah, this sort of naysaying and bad mouthing is going to be front page of the Daily Express.
Gunboat aficionado.
Gunboat apologist.
Trashes BBC show.
Yeah,
I'm more willing to be on Jet Lag the Game. Now, granted, they only bring on people who are A, younger than me, and B, very successful YouTubers.
But, I mean, also they're friends, isn't it?
I'm not sure they always know them that. I think they started off being more their friends, but I think they have stretched out a bit more to the YouTube wider community, which I'm not in. But if you're listening, guys, I'm on board. I'll do it.
Okay, great. You wouldn't be the most nerdy person on there, I'd say.
Who do you reckon's nerdy? Sam?
I reckon... No, what's the name of the one who always whines?
Adam. I mean, he's probably the least... Adam? He's probably the least... I mean, they're all nerdy, but I'd say he's probably the least nerdy of the three. He like,
really?
runs and stuff.
Oh, no, I don't think I mean Adam, then.
Oh, the one with the glasses and...
Not Ben.
Okay. So Sam who's is the blonde.
Not the main host. Oh, not Sam then, Adam, yeah. Is Adam the one who's like, that one?
I mean, previously you have said several times to me that he's whiny, so he's the one you're talking about, yeah.
Oh no, I just looked up Sam, and it's Adam I'm talking about, Adam.
Yeah, Adam, yeah.
Yeah, is that what we said? Yeah, Adam, he's whiny.
Yeah, are we saying whiny means nerdy?
He's both those things.
I mean, I say...
You can't explain in any way what this thing is. If anyone is listening to this, got no idea what we're talking about.
No, we can skip past the jet lag material, but I'd say they're all nerds.
Yeah, that's fair. And I mean, you're a nerd, obviously, but sure. I don't think you'd be an outlier in this group.
No, apart from your age and popularity and ability to film selfies. Can you film a selfie? Can it be a selfie if it's a video?
Oh, I wish I mean, I probably knew that when it was Oxford Dictionary's Word of the Year. Although, actually, having said that, I think that was before I worked there. So maybe not. So when I went to see Taylor Swift, mm-hmm. We could talk about Taylor Swift. I went to a pizza restaurant beforehand. Ristorante. Pizza / Lebanese food. So it was...
What? this was in Cardiff, wasn't it?
In Cardiff, yes. Capital of Wales.
Also, I was in Cardiff last week, and they had a sign saying "Capital of Events in Wales." I was like, "Yeah, but also just regular Wales." You don't,
yeah, exactly.
You don't really need to specify.
It's like, were you given a word count you had to fill? I don't know. And have I told you about this? I ordered a pizza, or indeed a calzone, or what they called a pizza pocket, or something. I don't know. They called it something else.
Okay.
I was like, great, this looks vegetarian. Yes, please. Don't recognize this word. Looks like a cheese. Asked my friend. She said, yeah, it's a cheese. I ordered it.
Okay.
So that word was...
Was it indugia?
No.
Indugia.
Mortadello.
Mortadello. That's a ham, isn't it?
Apparently it's a ham. It's very rude for them to... I mean, and in their defense, they haven't put a V next to it, and they had next to the vegetarian one.
So it was your friend who thought it was cheese, not not anyone employed there.
Yeah. My friend.
So what happened is that you ordered a pizza which had listed a meat ingredient, and unlike other pizzas on the menu, was not marked as vegetarian. And you're complaining that they gave you that pizza.
But doesn't, I mean, mortadella sounds like a cheese, doesn't it?
I mean, I knew it was a ham, but if I didn't know it was a ham, I guess I'd think
sounds
it might
quite
be
like
cheese.
A cheese.
Sure.
And I will say this.
Did you
eat it? Arrived. No. Yes, no, I decided I eat meat now.
So I arrived. Just avoid embarrassment.
Well, I clearly looked taken aback. And the people did say to me, is everything okay? And I said, oh, I'm vegetarian. And they were like, basically like, why'd you order
pizza with meat on it?
And I was like, I thought mortadella was a cheese. And he was like, no, it's a ham. And I will say, in my defense, I said, oh, I'll just take out the ham then. Don't worry. And they said, no, we'll make you another one. I said, no, you don't have to. And they said, no, we will. And they said, do you like any of our vegetarian pizzas? And I said, no, can I have this one, but without ham? And they did that. Because they had pistachio, and that intrigued me.
Pistachio on a pizza?
I will say the pizza was quite bland, and that's possibly because I'd removed
the
key ingredient. Yes, yeah. My friend had ordered extra olives on hers, and she'd got too many and didn't want them. And when I added those olives to mine, it was perfect.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, I'm impressed at your fortitude in offering to just take the meat off.
Well, I think I wouldn't have done that if I'd ordered something else and they brought me meat. But since I recognised the mistake was mine and my friend Lizzie's, I thought I can't really object.
I went to Tim Hortons while I was in Cardiff. On the Tim Hortons around this neck of the woods. Well, sort of this neck of the woods.
I saw you subtweeting them earlier today.
Well, yeah, Tim Hortons UK has got a Twitter account that tweeted at least daily, and often many times a day, it seemed, up until October last year, and then just suddenly stopped. So have they just fired their social media guy?
I'm saying that's maternity leave they decided not to cover.
Oh, maybe. Also, based on the tweets they were sending, I'm not entirely convinced they weren't American and just sending them from over there, because there was a lot of American reference, or Canadian, I guess. But North American references.
I'd be astonished if they had got a head office here. I mean, a social media person in the head office here.
Yeah, I'll do it.
You never know. Will you?
I know they want. Sure. I can't do a worse job. Most of their stuff is just like me when someone offers me a new s'mores latte and a picture of a guy smiling. I could do that.
Yeah,
I don't seem to realize that no one in this country knows what a s'mores is or what s'mores are.
It's true. I still don't. Is it marshmallow in like biscuit or something?
I think it might be graham cracker. And graham cracker, but I obviously don't know what a graham cracker is, so there's no help. Is that like a sweet cracker?
I think we have them here called something else. I forget.
It's not like Jacob's crackers, is it?
Oh, yes, that's what I'm thinking of. I think it is like that.
All right. Huh.
Write in, Jacob and or Graham. Friend Rosie just got married to an American gentleman whose surname, and now indeed her surname, is Graham, but he pronounces it Graham. It's like, what's she to do? You can't pronounce it Graham as a British person, so I'll have to find out.
That's intriguing. Because
She's, you know, if she ever moves there, what's she going to do? My friend Laura, your friend Laura, maybe you've met, is Northern Irish, and she married my friend Andrew, whose surname was K-E-R-R. Now, how would you pronounce K-E-R-R?
Kerr.
And I've met people who do, but he pronounced it Carr, like Deborah Carr, the noted actress. But Laura, being Northern Irish, pronounced it Kerr. And they've basically now compromised on pronouncing it Care. So they sort of just changed.
Like no one does.
Like no one does. Kerr. So I guess, I don't know. I don't know what's the line of there, but basically she married him, changed the pronunciation of his surname, and everyone has moved on.
Fair play to them. I mean, not many people have that kind of confidence to completely change the pronunciation of a surname that everyone thought they knew how to pronounce. and means that every time they ever talk to anyone about the name, it's going
to
be really...
I mean, to be fair, I think most people pronounce it Kerr, so Andrew was already correcting them to Carr. So it's just creating something else now.
Mm. So I got called Thomas the other day, which has been a while.
I got that the other day on Facebook, on Instagram. It's like, do I correct this? No, I'm just going to go with it.
Yeah, I didn't bother correcting it.
Do you have a favourite salad?
My favourite salad is no salad at all, my friend.
Okay, imagine that you have to put together a salad.
Put together?
Yeah, you're assembling a salad. What are your favourite salad ingredients?
So I used to go to a sandwich shop occasionally in Bristol called Maxie's or Maximilian's. And you could get a meat sandwich when you could add as much salad as you like. And the salad on offer was things like lettuce, spinach, full boiled eggs, pepperoni. It's basically just all that, basically anything that anyone could think of. Sure. Quite a lot of meat, a few things. So I guess pepperoni and jalapenos is my...
It's a lovely salad. So if someone said, like, if you're like, if you're going to dinner, I assume you're like, what can I bring?
On such occasions when I've had to provide salads, so at work the other day, I had to buy some salad for an away day thing. And I just bought two bags of salad from Asda or something. I think one of them was lettuce and spinach, and one of them was something else. Sure. So I guess I'd go for one of those if I had to buy salad.
I think it'd be quite funny
one unopened bag and finished about a third of the other bag.
If it wasn't opened, why did you throw it away?
Well, we left it in the fridge for a week first.
Oh, okay. Right, fine. I think it'd be quite funny if someone has to bring a salad just to bring lots of cans of sweet corn. I think that'd be funny to me. Nope. Okay, right.
I don't think that's funny, but I could be wrong.
You might have just done it with a huge bowl of sweet corn.
It'd be weird, certainly.
I call it my sweet corn salad. That's really tickled me. Well, you seem unmoved by my sweet corn salad.
Yeah, no, fine. I mean, it seems perilously close to a prank that you previously suggested you're against.
Well, no, I mean, everyone likes sweet corn, don't they?
I don't like sweet corn. No?
Yeah, you do.
I'll eat it, but it really bugs me how much people bang on about how great sweet corn is.
Corn on the cob is delicious.
It's not. It just isn't. What you like is butter, okay? You like eating butter and salt, and you found a way to do that. The corn itself is mediocre at best and difficult to eat. It's a nonsense.
I mean, you're at risk of like tackling the whole popcorn industry at this rate.
I don't really buy a lot of popcorn. Well, I think it was good a few years ago that I kind of thought, because there was a while when I was like bringing popcorn into the cinema to avoid paying for hugely overpriced. And I got to a point, this is a long time ago, over a decade ago, and I was like, I don't need to eat food whilst I watch a movie. Why have we been told that we need to eat food whilst watching a movie? That's just not a thing.
Yeah, so but I guess they can sell food.
I guess it is, but this kind of idea that, well, I've already had my evening meal and now it's 7:30 or something and I'm going to the cinema. Better eat some sweet or salty food. No, I'll just sit here and watch the film.
Wow, just vibing.
Am I just vibing here? In this, was that what you're saying?
Vibing. Okay, just watching the film, just vibing.
Yeah, that's true. I just vibe in cinemas and plan when I go to the toilet beforehand to make sure I can get through.
And he'll be not a soul at us that.
That's what I'm doing, son. That's what I'm doing every time I go to the cinema.
Right. Okay, horrible. Also, you go and see those films that, like, we decided to make the superhero film 8 hours long for no reason, so yeah, you need to pace yourself. Do you remember once going to the cinema with Sarah Foxen, back, as you all know, my friend at school, and I just thought, they just don't put enough butter on their popcorn.
Okay.
I like buttery popcorn. So I did melt some butter.
What?
bring it in a flask.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. To add to my popcorn. But I think we maybe
work out.
Well, I thought, looking back, we might have gone to the cinema at the end of a day of doing other things, or maybe it was a long journey or something, because it had re-solidified by the time we got there. So I just had like solid margarine in a flask.
I mean,
so no, not to answer your question, not great.
I mean, fair play to you for thinking of it, I suppose.
But yeah, I love buttery popcorn.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Also, every time I ever did buy popcorn, I finished all before the trailers. So it was
always... Handy P. And sometimes I'd be like, I'm going to wait till the trailers are ended. And it just, it's like, why am I lying to myself? Although what I do like about a Curzon cinema, and I am going on Thursday, is that they will bring pizza right to your table, to your seat, I guess.
Yeah, but again, I don't need to eat food whilst I'm at the cinema.
Well, it's my dinner.
Okay, that's fine. They do that at the Everyman as well, I think.
I'm going to go and see Present Laughter by Noel Coward, one of those in the cinema from the theatre things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Classy day out for Saturday.
I'm not a fan of that. I mean, I've not done it, but I've watched them, occasionally seen them on TV, and I'm not really a fan. But
when I went to one, in front of being honest, where they had subtitles, didn't appreciate that.
I don't like a subtitles, then. I think we've talked about subtitles before, but I don't
I
like
hate
them.
Subtitles, but I particularly hate them for a theatre thing, particularly a comedy, when it's like, well, you've killed every line because you've read them all.
I blame Gen Z.
Okay, but sure, yeah. You love to blame Gen Z for things.
I do love to blame Gen Z for stuff, but they love a subtitle.
Yeah, can't argue with that. Although, I mean, I don't know any Gen Z people, but I know...
I work with a Gen Z person.
How old is Gen Z now?
I think anyone born between about 97 and 2014-ish, maybe.
Oh, yikes. In which case, I probably do.
But she was born in 1999.
And she's an adult, you say?
She's turning 25 on Monday.
Oh, but how? I'm 25.
Hate to break this to you. I was in a church leadership meeting the other day, and I was the oldest person in the room.
Oh, wow. Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah.
Gosh, I mean, I did think I should be allowed to lead a church and be under 50. So.
Well, when I was a trustee at my previous church, I was the youngest person there every time. So it's quite a switcheroo.
Yeah, and you've not got that much older.
No, it's quite a youthful church.
I know that people who talk about being thought younger than they are just the scum of the earth, but it's become quite a thing for me of late, and I've always hated people who talk about it, but now it's me, I want to.
Is this because of your moisturising regime, do you think?
I assume it is, yeah, I assume it's the moisturising. They take one glimpse and it's like, cheeks that shiny, can't be old.
People obviously always think I'm about 10 years older than I am, but they've stopped expressing such surprise when they find out my real age. So I feel that's feel that's something.
Yeah, someone the other day to me said you must be nearer 30 than 40. It's a big moment.
The other day, this is quite a long time ago, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was about 5 years ago.
It was about 3 weeks ago.
Because I feel like you've told me before.
5 years ago, I was closer to 30.
That's what I'm saying. the girl in the office, who I'm not going to name her son because this is a worldwide podcast and it could be embarrassing.
Lorraine. That young person's name.
Yeah. She was upset by the fact that she'd be closer to 30 than 20.
Right.
I'm also closer to 30 than 20.
Yeah, I guess that's not a thing that ever changes.
No, and then just realizing that didn't help her.
What I find weird now is when my friends have babies, I'm like, your baby is closer to the beginning of university than you are.
It's okay. Weird. Yeah.
Weird. 20 years.
20 years. Goodness me, 20 years in university. Well, not from, I'm still at university. So I'm still at the university.
Oh, that's true.
Being
yes.
a young buck like I am. Although it depends on how quickly we get this turned around for release, because my results are due in 11 days. So,
well, now that you don't have a podcast anymore, because sadly, Seed Said a Book of Music, well, no, sorry, Movies.
Seed Said a Music Show.
Seed Said a Movies is no more. Mm. I assume you'll be doing the lion's share of the editing now.
Interesting. I think I'm a graduand. Am I a graduand? I think I'm a graduand.
You, well, yes, if you've handed in and not yet had your graduation. Mm,
that's exciting. Yeah, no, I'm assuming I've passed, but we'll find out.
Time. There you go. Taylor Swift.
Yes, I also went to see Taylor Swift at Wembley.
Not familiar.
With a crowd of thousands. She made thousands of people turn up, including our current Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer.
Oh, yeah, was he there the same day as you?
He was.
Who didn't know his wife's name?
Ooh, Yvonne? Great question.
Is it Yvonne?
I don't think it's Yvonne. No. If you take Yvonne, I'll take not Yvonne, and we'll see who's right.
Okay.
What is her name? She's kept a little bit quiet, has old Mrs. Starmer. Or she may be one of these newfangled women who doesn't take her husband's name.
She is called Victoria Starmer. There we go.
Lady Victoria. Oh, yes, well, because he's a knight, yeah.
Oh, yes. And he doesn't tell anyone his children's names. There you go.
Oh, really? Hmm. I mean, yeah. It's one of the things that you think people could find out quite easily.
I mean, I assume it's an open secret in some circles, but I certainly don't know. But I didn't know his wife's name, and he's very open about that, so...
Yes, that's not a secret. But yes, he and his good lady wife went, and their daughter, I think, went to see Taylor Swift. And I went with my friend Zijan and Mike and Zijan's friend Ting.
I don't think any FOMOs were there when I saw, not that I heard. I mean, I assume there were some in the FOMO box, but I don't know who they were.
I don't know if Cardiff even does that. It was the Principality, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Which was still called the Millennium Stadium when I went there. I don't know why.
Well, it's not the same. Is that the same place?
Well, I think it actually is. I from what I thought, it wasn't. But then when I was in Cardiff, I was like, well, this looks a lot like the Millennium Stadium. And it turns out, yes, it is the same place.
Well, there you go. Principality, I believe, is a bank or something.
It is still the Millennium Stadium, but it's known as Principality, yes, sponsorship. Yeah, makes sense.
What a fun time it was. It was very hot. I will say that if she's looking for open feedback, but I had a lovely time nonetheless.
Hmm. Yes. Where would you rank it in your all-time list of your favorite gigs you've been to?
Oh my gosh, I've been to so many. It must be nearly eight.
Not wrong, nearly eight.
It's tricky. I think it's probably number two.
Interesting. So,
yeah. Any guess on what number one is?
Is it Catherine Williams?
No, I do love Catherine Williams. It's Shania Twain. And that was just because I'd waited so many years to go. And did she sing live? Jury's out. But
is this Taylor or Shania?
Shania. Taylor definitely sang live.
I'm not convinced Taylor did for a lot of it.
Oh, I think she had a loud backing track, but I think she was singing. What's your number? Where would you put it in your many more concerts? That's a great question.
I think if it was the first half only, it'd be right up there because I had a fantastic time. And then, as you know, her later stuff is not so much to my taste. So, and it was while the show wasn't quite chronological, it was kind of veering that way. So the second half I enjoyed a little less. Maybe fourth.
It's okay.
But then it's one of these things that Bruce Springsteen's been, which I did see at the Millennium Stadium actually, has been number one for a long time. But I may have built it up more in hindsight than because I've seen quite a lot of stuff since then. But yeah, I generally think Springsteen 1, Billy Joel 2, Counting Crows 3, and then Taylor probably in at 4. But yeah, she could be breaking that top three.
The top woman.
And I think. Probably the only woman I have seen, certainly the only female solo artist I've seen.
Excuse me, Colin. I was with you when we saw Sheryl Crow.
I'm not counting warm-up acts.
Sheryl Crow. We saw Sheryl crow.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen female solos warm up acts elsewhere. There's a female.
But were they Sheryl Crow?
I don't remember. But when I saw
Sheryl Crow,
when I saw Don McLean, there was a female solo artist warm up act.
Sheryl Crow is iconic. She's more iconic than the Eagles, I would say.
Would you? Is that why she was playing support for them?
She's humble,
right?
You can't dismiss Sheryl Crow as just a warm up act.
I mean, she literally was a warm up act.
She wasn't. She was co-bill. She was not on the bill.
That's just not true. So I think
not technically, no.
But I think I'm pretty confident she's the only female solo artist that I've seen as the main attraction at a gig.
Wow, I didn't realize you're a huge misogynist, but
what Taylor Swift has taught me, Simon, is to be authentically myself. And my way of doing that, admittedly, on the night was to wear a lanyard that said VIP on it.
You were a VIP at the Taylor Swift gig?
Yeah, I was a VIP.
Oh, yeah. What did that mean? What happened?
I just got a bunch of merch.
No, so nothing actually VIP on the night?
I wore a lanyard. The whole time.
But what did the lanyard mean? Did it mean anything to anyone else?
Yes, they looked at me and was like, that guy's a VIP.
Were you sat somewhere different from non-VIPs?
I don't think so, no.
Did anyone else wear a lanyard?
Mike wore his lanyard.
The Zijan refused to wear his lanyard.
Zijan did refuse to wear his lanyard. And mocked me for wearing it. But I told him
he's right to do so. It's ridiculous.
I told him I'm being authentically myself, a man who wears a lanyard. Which is weird because when I worked
for
Aberdeen,
usually a man.
I always refuse to wear a lanyard.
I've never seen you wear a lanyard. That's probably not true.
I refused to for a long time. Even when they were doing checks, I wouldn't do it. But I do wear a lanyard. I don't know, son.
You must be hard to be around at work.
But I do wear a lanyard in my current job because we meet in the museum, and I feel like when I'm pulling open the automatic doors in the morning, it's useful to be wearing a lanyard so they don't just think I'm some random person. Not my Taylor Swift lanyard, although I might switch around actually to my Taylor Swift lanyard. I
can't believe you wore it the whole time.
The whole time, son, because I was a VIP.
So this extra VIP money just got you like a couple of posters and a lanyard.
There was no way of buying tickets that I could find that did not involve being a VIP. I don't know how other people did it. You know, you didn't buy your tickets from the thing, no. But you know when you're buying tickets for a gig or for anything that's selling out quickly, you just panic and click on the first thing you can click on.
I should say that my friend did buy them. I was not, there as a guest of Taylor, in case people had. Yes, Shania Twain's one. I bought the digital album, the physical album, even though I don't have anything to play it on, in order to get pre-booking privileges. Was there at 7 a.m. on the day for pre-booking privileges. And I think 6 weeks later, I could still have bought those tickets. They were as popular as I thought.
Well, I did this for Hamilton. I heard all about Hamilton selling out really quickly. And by the time I came to Bristol, I was there clicking refresh, getting them as soon as I could. And then a year later, you could still get tickets. So I guess not as
I did
deal,
a great seats for Shania, so you know.
But here's some tips, fans. Here's some tips for our listeners who are looking to buy tickets in these kind of things where they might be selling out quickly. Okay. Something I've learned along the way for when I failed to get tickets for Off Menu in Bristol, but managed to go.
Pretend you're registered blind.
No. It doesn't. You might get. So I did this when I bought Paul McCartney tickets for me and Dad coming up in December. You get there, you try and get some tickets. They're all marked as sold out. Just wait a little bit because some people have put them in their basket and then not buy them, and that's what happened with Paul McCartney. Everything was marked as sold out. I waited a little bit, some became available.
Well, I suppose that is technically a tip. So
it's a life hack, Simon. Life hacked life.
Oh, you're
welcome. You are welcome.
I don't want to see Paul McCartney, so what would you do in my situation?
That's where you register blind, I think. You do have to be blind.
Oh, I see.
Or was it that you didn't want to listen to Paul McCartney as well? Is that also a thing?
I see a little joke.
My friend, you got to go small, son. For my other life hack from the world of comedy.
Sorry, I wasn't telling a story. That's fine.
They can't all be big jokes. But put in a smattering of little jokes and they add up. Like, yeah, a big joke. Like 10 not very funny jokes. Basically adds up to a couple of really good jokes. Did you say I was a joke?
Yeah, I said a little joke, yeah.
Oh, little. Oh, wow, okay. My friend Adam, people like smattering. Anyway, your story. What, Adam? Is that Adam from Jetlag?
Yeah. No, it's not. I have to be honest with you. He got tickets for, I can't remember what it was, but something that it sold out, and then told them that he was had vertigo, so they moved him.
Does he have vertigo?
Well, I don't know. He went back and forth on that. And now I say vertigo. It might not even have been vertigo. It might have been like...
impetigo.
Like dyslexia or something. I don't know, something else that got you moved.
Those seem very different.
But he lied about something to get a better seat and then tried to backtrack on it.
Oh, he did lie.
So that's my top tip. Well, I don't know. He first said he lied, and then he obviously decided he didn't like that narrative, so he said he hadn't lied.
Have you seen the film Vertigo?
No, I would like to, but you know, I'm busy. I've barely watched any of the Kissing Booth trilogy.
I mean, you have watched those, and you tell me that you hate them.
I've only watched one. It was dreadful. It was a bad example. But
I mean, yeah, you could watch Vertigo quite easily. I got on DVD if you had a DVD.
Yeah. Well, I technically do, but I've not turned it on for a while, so I don't know if it still works. Okay. But I've had that DVD player for 20 years.
Oh, wow. I was walking past some sort of like secondhand shop, and they were just giving away DVDs. Like, how whole box would have like take these? They're free. So I did take.
Did you take them?
Not all of them. I took like three. I took Son of Rambo, a film that I considered watching when it came out, and then never did. That was long. Like, came out 15 years ago or something. Like, yeah, I'll watch that. I'm sure. I got The Imitation Game on Blu-ray.
Do you have a Blu-ray player?
Yes.
Ooh.
I got a film called Head Over Heels, a romantic comedy starring Monica Potter and some guy. Back when, I think there's a brief window where Monica Potter hoped to be kind of, not necessarily the next big thing, but at least a working actor.
And, I've not heard of this lady.
I know she was in Parenthood, a series that I watched, but she was also, I've also seen her in a couple of rom-coms.
Well, I wish her nothing but the best.
Yeah, I followed her on Twitter for a while. Don't anymore.
Freddie Prinze Jr. is in it.
That's the guy. Yeah.
Oh, she was in the Saw film. Great.
Yeah.
Is she still working? Eager minds need to know. Yeah, she was in Goliath as recently as 3 years ago. So
Goliath?
So no, I guess. She was apparently in Lennon or McCartney, a short documentary film about the Beatles.
Oh, was she a talking head saying, yeah, I like the Beatles, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I guess so. But why would they get Monica Potter?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, yeah. Yeah, fair enough. I don't know. Oh, glad it's a TV series. The last thing for that was, in fact, Parenthood. Okay.
Well, people who are tuning in to listen to us Google and said this actors, I hope you've enjoyed that content. See what's left on my list of things I've been talking about.
We haven't exhausted the list yet. Okay.
The final one I've got is Salt. So many ways you could go with Salt. It's a noted Christian dating app that I did. My friend's on it, so I quite enjoyed like pretending to be her. I didn't message anyone pretending to be her, but she was like, could you just flick through these and match with some people you think I might like? And that was quite fun. Okay. She did. One of them I seemed quite nice, and he messaged her, but she didn't reply. So could have missed your marriage there.
A friend of mine, this isn't to do with Salt, her sister broke up with someone because he wished her a happy St. George's Day.
Wow. Was it on St. George's Day?
I mean, I didn't ask, but I'm assuming.
Because that could be a deal breaker.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that's a...
I mean, if he did it with like, you know, nationalistic overtones... That's one
I don't know how. I mean, I think the issue seemed to be that he was too. I think she tried Brexit. He was how she tried, but I'm not sure how you wish someone having St. George's Day with nationalistic overtones.
I think if you use more than three St. George's flags, maybe.
Speaking of which, I did get my two St. George's flags out today, and I did iron them, ready for the Euros final on Sunday.
Is that happening?
7 years.
Oh, it's not like during the afternoon, is it?
It's 8 o'clock, Hugo.
Oh, that's fine. I'm going for lunch with some friends, and if they're going to talk about it, then...
I mean, they might talk about it, even when it's not happening.
Not on my watch. I wouldn't have thought so. Thinking who they are, I wouldn't have thought so.
No, okay. It's a big moment. So it's the first time that England have ever been in a major final that wasn't in England.
I don't care. That's that, I guess. So,
did you have more to say on salt? I feel like we did salt previously, but...
Well, what we did do was whether or not salt has a taste, you know, my firm belief that it doesn't.
You still are, are you?
Yeah. And we talked about salted caramel, but I messaged you the other day about the ice cream I had that was salted chocolate.
Okay.
And that could be the new frontier of salt.
So it's weird that salt has been around for like, it's probably the oldest ingredient. And yet in the last few years, people are messing around with it.
And we finally found out what we can do with it. Rosemary salt, for example.
Okay, is that a thing?
Romance novelist. She's not really. That was just a jape.
That's a very good jape. I mean, I like rosemary and salt on chips. If you want to put them together before you pour them on the chips, be my guest.
I do. And in fact, there's a place near me that does exactly that, and it's a dream come true.
Now, you're teetotal these days, son.
Yes, sir.
But back when you were downing margaritas, would you salt the rim?
I have never drunk a margarita.
Interesting. Okay.
So I'm going to say no. I never really got that much into cocktails, although I do love a passion fruit martini. You know that.
I think it's got another name, hasn't it, Simon?
Well, yes, more familiarly known as a porn star martini. And there's a place, a Sri Lankan place, that does a really nice non-alcoholic one. Which means I have to ask for a virgin porn star martini. And that's not a place I want to live my life. Although I think they actually call it a virgin passion fruit martini, which is, you know.
But then I feel the same way with anything that's got a silly name. It's like when I was at Taylor Swift and I wanted to buy a donut, and the donuts were named after Taylor Swift songs.
They were selling donuts at yours.
They were for like £7 each or something ridiculous.
Okay. Let me think if I can think of any that they could name. Let me just think.
If you're trying to think of one that is relevant, then you're wasting your time.
Okay. maybe I'll give up then.
So the one I wanted was, to be honest, I think they were all just the same with different colour icings, but not even different flavour, I don't think. But the one I wanted was the gorgeous donut. But I'm not ordering a gorgeous donut, so just the white one, please.
I'll say gorgeous is not a top Taylor Swift track, surely.
No, I think they're going for short titles above for anything else. But curiously, they also had the Homer Simpson one, so it was like, it was something like the Never Getting Back Together, the Gorgeous, or the Homer. I was like, well, I don't know what's going on.
Well, she loves Aristotle, maybe she loves Homer as well. We were trying to decide what we would order for pizzas using Taylor Swift lyrics or song titles, and my friend Ellie came up with the brilliant.
We are never getting back bacon.
We are never ever getting mozzarella.
That's better.
But if you ask for that, it's not clear if you want mozzarella or not. It's like, what's going on here?
I mean, it's very clear you don't want mozzarella, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can't really go to someone and say, I don't want mozzarella. It's not a pizza option, just not having mozzarella.
No, it's just a plain.
I said, I knew you were triple formaggi when I walked in, which I, you know, sort of works.
Love it.
No, it's not the best. We had olive story, which is not bad.
Okay, yeah, I like that. Yeah. Now, if you took it to a Rod Stewart themed pizza, right?
Yes.
And Do You Think I'm Sexy would well,
that's good.
Would work.
That is, I'll give you that one. That is good. And congratulations on pronouncing it correctly, I assume.
Well, I mean, I think that's my third different shot at it this podcast. So one of them's probably correct.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
You know my pizza approach. Just whatever's got the most meat on it.
It's not a classy approach, I'd say.
I'm not a classy man, son. I'm not a classy man.
I've
never been to the opera.
A white pizza.
All right.
Wow. Yeah. And you know what? The calzone I had that didn't have ham did have potato. So do with that what you will.
What are you doing?
I love potato on a white pizza.
I mean, you're taking off tomato and putting potato. You're not even eating pizza anymore. Just eating
tomato is the worst part of pizza. And what's wrong with that?
So switch it out for barbecue sauce if you have to. But
that's too much barbecue sauce.
Disagreeing. Have you ever had curry pizza?
I don't think so. Although there was a short-lived pizza restaurant in Oxford that did offer curry on a pizza, because it was meant to represent different countries of the world or different regions of the world. They were just like, we cover the whole world with pizza. I never ordered their korma on a pizza.
It doesn't really work. I'll tell you what is great though, Brinner pizza. The number 51 in Bristol used to do, I don't think they do anymore, but or at least they sat down at lunchtime rather than eating. It's basically like a full English breakfast on a pizza. It's amazing.
It does sound like a cardiac arrest waiting to happen.
I say full English. Bacon, sausage, egg. There's like a fried egg in the middle. Probably some mushrooms if you wanted. So good.
Okay, baked beans.
No, I didn't have baked beans. No, didn't have hash browns or anything. So yeah, not really full English, but enough. Enough.
Enough. Enough, no more.
I'm on a quiz team, a regular quiz team, as you know, so I need to join that quiz team from time to time. And there's always a super pickled egg question where if you uniquely get the answer correct, you win a super pickled egg, although the super pickled egg is notional. You've won it in the past.
I was going to say, I won it, and I didn't realise it was just a joke. I kept expecting someone to give me something, and then no one did.
I think conceptually, when we started, we were going to, but then they weren't available and it just never happened. Although last quiz, actually, Phil did bring along a pickled egg, but then no one won it. So he just ate it. But you won it when I was hosting, I think.
I did. Your question was the first book of the Bible in alphabetical order, I believe.
Yes.
Explain what goes on, please.
For the super pickled egg question, everyone on the team writes down their answer to the question without saying it out loud and then compare the answers. And if any one person gets it uniquely, that's tautologist. If any one person gets it correct, they win the egg. It doesn't have to be the answer the team goes for. It just has to be uniquely correct.
And you pre-select the number, which question is going to be important, don't you?
You do. But when you brought that up, I hosted the quiz again a couple of weeks ago, and the question that was chosen as the super pickled egg that time was, which Shakespeare play begins, If Music Be the Food of Love, play on, and Jenny uniquely got that correct.
So you said you were quizmaster for this.
I was quizmaster for that. Although I also won the SPE at a different quiz when I wasn't quizmaster. When the question was, on which reality TV show did Peter Andre and Katie Price meet and fall in love?
And no one else knew it was I'm a Celeb.
No, they were pushing Big Brother or Celebrity Big Brother.
What?
But I
did those people not educated about anything? Come on.
Well, they also. Half of them didn't know the Shakespeare thing.
I mean, don't get me wrong, they've both been on Celebrity Big Brother, I feel sure, but it's not where they met.
I don't know, so I don't know. But I did know I'm a Celebrity.
I assume you've seen Peter Andre in concert?
I have not seen Peter Andre in concert.
Just after I saw Shania at the O2 in London, they were, like, Peter Andre was doing a whole concert there. It's like, how is Peter Andre filling the O2? Who's going to see this?
Some, like, hall at the back somewhere.
It might have been a hall at the back somewhere, I guess. I guess it was, I didn't check whether or not it was a hall at the back.
I mean, there's a lot of O2s. You could have been playing the O2 Academy in Bristol.
But it was advertised in the O2 that I was in, so it would have been... It would have been quite weird if they'd just been like,
no offense to you.
You like an O2?
No offense to you or the Canadian Bell, but I'm slightly surprised Shania Twain filled the O2.
What? Shania Twain? There's almost no one more iconic.
Did you go to Glastonbury to see her?
I did not. Nor did I watch it, in fact. But it's just a bit sad now because her voice has deteriorated so much.
Well, I'm slightly worried about this with Paul McCartney, but, you know...
She had Lyme disease.
It's mainly there to be able to say, I saw Paul McCartney.
Also, he was never good, I suppose. There is that. That's a comfort in this time of need.
I disagree on that.
Oh, you disagree?
Yeah.
Weird. Okay. Weird. Okay. Weird. I guess we should draw this to a close. Oh, sorry, you've got a fresh new stream.
Fresh new streams. I haven't thought at the end of this question, but I thought I'd get there.
Okay, right. So what's the beginning? What's your favourite?
What's your favourite capital city, then?
That is a lovely question, actually.
Because I think my favourite cities I've been to, I mean, they're mostly Canadian, but I've not been to the capital of Canada.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Do I have to have been there?
Oh, I mean, I assumed you would have been, but maybe your favorite capital city is one you've not been to. I don't know how that would be the case.
And Jemina, capital of Chad.
That's your favorite capital city, isn't
it? Yeah, on reflection, no. I've not been to that many capital cities, if I can be completely honest with you.
Interesting. No, I suppose I've not either, isn't it?
Let's count how many we've been to. Is that great, content?
Great idea. London, yes. By the way, I'm not counting like Cardiff and Edinburgh.
Oh, aren't you?
No.
Okay, because Edinburgh was a strong bet for mine.
No, it's not counting.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, guys.
London, yes. Paris, yes. Yep,
been there. Berlin.
Not been there, but I'll give DC for my third.
Okay. I've been to Vienna Airport. I'm not sure I can count that.
We went to Brussels as
Brussels,
children.
Yeah. Podgorica, I've been to.
Okay, Manila, I've been to.
Hmm.
Dublin. Went to Dublin.
All right. I've not been to Dublin.
Yes, you have. That's where we went on our Irish trip.
That doesn't run to Dublin.
Yeah, we went all over. We sailed into Dublin.
I don't think we did, but okay.
Yeah, we did. And I still don't understand why we had to sleep in the car park the night before.
Nice. But we really went to the south of Ireland, I'm pretty sure.
Well, Dublin's probably in the south of Ireland.
I don't think it is.
Okay, fine, I won't count Dublin.
I mean, maybe you're right, but I don't think I can count it on the basis that I don't think I've been there. I have been there, I don't remember it at all, but it's kind of halfway up on the...
So have you only each been to five capital cities? Oh no, I've been to Madrid. I forgot about that.
Have you? Get you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm not that well travelled.
No one knew. Well, that's... So, I mean, of those six capital cities I've been to, I guess Manila? I liked Manila.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm ruling out Podgorica because really we just flew in there and then drove to Nixie. Brussels, I don't really remember.
I did go last year, so that is okay. More. Actually, Brussels is lovely.
Mm. London's pretty good, I guess, but I guess I go Berlin.
I'm actually going to change to Brussels. I did like Brussels. It's okay. Very pretty. Had lots of chocolate.
But if and when we go to Ottawa, then.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably just like an administrative capital of like government buildings, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, still number one.
Yeah. No, so are we saying our favourite capital city is Ottawa? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I guess.
Sure. Right.
It's nudged N'Djamena out of top space. Nuku'alofa could be up there.
No, I've just dropped a little street view guy into Ottawa. And where's that? Yeah. That's there's an airport building.
Right. I think my friend Jill lives there. So.
It looks pretty bland.
okay. We've gone over the hour now, and I can't imagine anyone's listening at this point. Can you imagine anyone keeping going? Like, Marley, if you've got this far, give me a message with the number 148 in it.
Yeah, Marley would love this, I think. I think this is probably Marley's favourite episode.
Marley did message me saying, could you not talk so much about films or football? So, you know, we've done quite well.
Okay, we've steered mostly clear of those things.
Yeah. I mean, she loves Monica Potter, so I think that bit will be fine.
I did bring up football a little bit.
But she's a real Potterhead.
Is that what that means? Is
it? I assume so, yeah.
Is there a Monica Potter-themed theme park somewhere?
Yeah. She won't go on principle.
I reckon we could get Monica Potter on the show. I think she'd come on the podcast.
But then what? To what end, I guess, is my question.
I'm not saying we'd take it. I'm just saying that I reckon if we wanted to, we could get Monica Potter.
We might be able to get Swilla Bravman at this point. We'd just have to pretend to be far right, and then she'd be all over it.
I don't think you'd be convincing as far right.
I really hate... Everything has
that. That is because you just drop your voice a little bit. That seems like your general impression of things you don't like.
Yeah, no, that is true. I do that. Except I also do it for things I do like you when I'm impersonating you.
Yeah, but you tend to do it when you're impersonating me liking football.
Yeah, that's and true.
You also think that every single football fan says the word mate at the end of every sentence.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong.
No.
Well, I think, Simon, let's finish on some football since we're here. What's our prediction for the final?
16-2.
16-2, interesting. That's
to both teams.
To, I'm not sure what that even means.
Yeah, it will be a first.
I'm gonna say yellow card in the first 2 minutes.
Pardon me. Oh, yellow card. I don't know who's playing.
You know England's playing. I've just told.
Well, I know that. Yes, I don't know who they're playing. Switzerland or someone.
No.
And yeah, 16 to Chad. And
do you think
weirdly entering the Euros? Yes.
No, it's Spain. It's going to be Spain.
Okay, great. Well, fingers crossed, Spain win. I'm sure we're all on that page.
Nope, I've been ironing England flags this off as season's on, and I'm.
What are you planning to? I didn't ask. What are you planning to do with this England flag?
Flags plural. I'm going to put them up. I'm inviting some friends around to watch the game.
And you're just going to like hang them up in your living room.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, it's so sad. But enjoy, I guess.
Thanks, man. And as we always say, time to finish the podcast.
What has this podcast achieved?
Oh, yeah. I forgot it was a call and response.
Exactly. Well, we do both the call and the response.
Yeah. What has it achieved?
That was hard. Yeah. Okay. We've put
but the win in Twin. Firmly coordinated as ever.
We're going to be breaking the podcast now, guys. See you soon, I guess.
Yeah. On the hour, every hour.
Bye.
Right.